My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Welcome to a new episode of Pixels and Polygons. We're getting in the 30s. Someone told me that a lot of podcasts or, you know, podcast attempts, like the average they fizzle out at is around 21 episodes or so. I have no idea if that's true or if that's an honest or accurate stat or what real studies went into that. I was just verbally told that, and that made me a little bit excited, that fact that I've passed that mark and we're cruising along. Had a hiccup last week with a delayed release, but this one will be released on Friday, and technically that counts. Friday's my release day, so success. I've got two guests on the show. My returning guest for the first half of the episode is Rusty Shackles, artist and gamer and fun guy to talk to. So we had a continued conversation from our previous recording session, and we get to kind of continue out to hear more about some of his cool thoughts and shares. And then on the back half of the episode, my wife Nicole came in to help bookend the episode and round out this question and this topic for this portion. So two returning guests, two fun conversations and two pieces. We answer the question, what is a memorable or favorite like gaming moment that made you go wow, or like a wow gaming moment? So that's always kind of cool because, again, it's got a really, you know, personal stories or personal ties and attachments to what it was and, you know, why it made you so impressed and everything. So it's always just kind of a, you know, interesting to have a question that kind of leads the conversation in that direction. Otherwise, that's it. Enjoy the episode. And, as usual, I'm going to plug the Patreon page, patreon.com/Darren Hupke, read some video game articles and some behind the scenes looks at some of the stuff that I'm working on there. All of it's free. If you do want to support me financially, there is a paid tier that you have access to an extra podcast called Single Player that I put out. That's just me solo talking about different gaming topics each week. Other than that, find me on social media on things like Blue Sky at Darren Hupke, and then like Threads and Instagram at Darren Hupke as well. But Blue Sky is definitely where I'm kind of more active. And yeah, have some fun. Play some games, and come back next week for another new episode. Bye. All right, welcome back to another episode. I've got a returning guest, Rusty, on the show. He's been a recent contributor to the series, and it's been fun having conversations with him. So welcome again to the show, Rusty.
Hey, thanks for having me back there.
Kick things off as usual, the icebreaker question is going to be on hand. This you didn't have any warning of. This is something just to throw you off and laugh about it. But what is your favorite game character who wears green?
Let me think if Tina Armstrong has any green outfits. No. Cammy, I guess. Actually, against my Street Fighter fandom, I'm looking at a Cammy figure on my desk. So that's an easy one, I guess.
Cammy's good. I mean, it's barely green. It's got that high waisted V, you know, bikini, bodysuit, whatever it is. But it is green. It is green.
It's technically, it cuts into the wall. She's also in Cannon Spike, which is a shooter, so it's a variety.
I am sorry to say I've never played Cannon Spike, and I know that's a game I would love, and
yeah.
I just missed it. I think I had gotten rid of my Dreamcast by then. I think I was already nervous that it was going to be obsolete, and so like I was prepping for the PS2, so I was trying to get the most I could for it. So my Dreamcast was gone when Cannon Spike came out. I have never gone back, and I absolutely want to.
Yeah, like if you've played, since it's Psycho, if you've ever played like Sengoku Aces or Samurai Aces, that series and all that, it's a very kind of similar feeling. But yeah, like that's like, I think I kind of, like, I know there's other characters in the game, but it's always Cammy. So.
Yeah, I think Charlie from Street Fighter is also in it, right? Yeah.
And and legally not Lin Kurosawa from Aliens vs. Predator. And a knight who's supposed to be based on Arthur, but he's like a tank character. Also, I think Mega Man's an unlockable in that too.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of fun, but it's very, it's a lot of like oddball takes on Capcom characters. One's like Dark Balrog, who's Vega, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, in America, Vega. International, I think they call him just Claw.
Claw, dictator, yeah. And boxer.
Yeah, and then it's just good old Sagat. But then it's an evil version of him. There's some other, a lot of the other characters are kind of like takes on Capcom cliches too. So you can tell it's a labor of love from an outside company paying homage to Capcom.
See, I didn't realize there was more of that. So now I really want to play it. So
yeah,
I mean, with the age of the internet and whatnot, maybe it's more doable than not. I should definitely jump onto that train.
It's almost like you're regarding a dream. A re-dream, if you will.
That's what I think I have re-dream, right? What's there is, I think that's the most popular Dreamcast one.
It was kind of cheap. Yeah, it's great otherwise. Yeah. So.
Cool. So put it on my to-do list, Canon Spike, but your favorite character who wears green, Cammy. Okay.
Yes.
Question's been answered. We will move into the main episode topic then. I also like this question a lot. But what is a wow moment you've had with a game? And like, what was it about it that kind of impressed you and everything? I mean, obviously this one, like, let's just kind of have more of a peek into, you know, what drives you, like from an entertainment and creativity standpoint and everything. But yeah, I'd love to hear what's that game and what's that wow moment for you?
So for me, there's a lot of moments I thought about, and then I really kind of had to like think about what puts a smile on my face the same strength as the first time I did it. And for me, that is in Metal Slug 3. Well, the beginning of the game is fantastic. Just the sprite work is so gorgeous, and you fight that giant crab tank thing, and then you have like, you know, barfing up blood as a zombie if you're a grenade pack. There's so much in it. And by the end of the game, what you think is the end of the game, you're fighting General Morden again. And it's like, all right, cool, whatever. And, you know, kind of figure. And then all of a sudden this alien invasion happens. At that moment, the bad guys and you make peace. And then you start angling towards these rockets. And you're like, go, go, go. All of a sudden your characters blast off into outer space. And it's just this, it all of a sudden becomes like a vertical shooter. And it's insanely great metal. It's just this moment where you're like, yeah, I'm going to go do this now. Like, it absolutely is just pushing the pedal through the floor moment. Where I thought the game was over, but it's like, nope, we're going to have one more amazing freaking level. And the game kind of became like more about fighting the aliens after the series than that. And that's the whole, that last level is a mother. But it's a huge, massive payoff. But the transition from fighting military guys and the occasional aliens here or there in like X, I think, to it being like a full scale, like, no, we're going to go blow up their mothership right now. It's fantastic. There's a million ways you can play Metal Slug 3. Do it. Don't watch the video. Go do it. Just listen to what I said. And once you see it happen in real time, you'll get it too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a series that has been available. I mean, even on PS2, there was that Metal Slug Anthology where they kind of collected it. So it's one of those earlier games that had, like, a compilation treatment done for it, you know, in, like, the modern, I mean, moving into, like, the modern era. Did you originally play it, like, in the arcade or on one of those?
I think that by that point, it was kind of hard to find a Neo Geo in the area I was living in. I was actually living in Parker, like Callaway, Florida, outside of Panama City. And I think the laundromat had Metal Slug 1 next to my house. So that was kind of cool. But Metal Slug 3, I didn't actually have the opportunity to play until it was released for the original Xbox. And there, you could only bump the settings of difficulty. I think you could adjust the difficulty, but all it did was it would give you 5 lives instead of 3. And you had 5 continues total. And if you've played any Metal Slug game, you know that's not going to get you too far. So for me, the additional thing was, I figured out after a certain point, if you're playing the game and you're about to die for good, pick up controller 2 and hit start, then you start the whole project. Then, like, that play has five characters, five lives, and well, that was the only, and it was such, like, it was such a mountain to climb to get to that last stage on just limited lives and limited continues. And the relief of getting past that point and then having to another set of lives on top of it made it one of my favorite moments. But whenever, like, I played the game with my son for the first time, like, it was just like, yeah, you're in for a treat. You're gonna, this is everything in this game will stick with you in one way, shape, or form or another. But yeah, there's so much in that game that, like, I absolutely love. It's the peak of the series. Other ones that came after, like, 5 is good, 4 is not so great, but it really is the top. It really was the big moment for that game series.
Yeah, I loved that. We lived in a small town in Arizona growing up, and there was like a small little movie theater in the local town, and right across from it was an arcade. And it was a pretty decent arcade, I feel. I guess I didn't have much to compare it against, so I didn't know, but they had a good variety of games there. But I just remember that was my first exposure to a lot of things. I mean, like Mortal Kombat and, you know, NBA Hang Time and like various things. But I remember seeing like a Metal Slug like cabinet for the first time. And yeah, that sprite work, like even with all the way back to the original one, like that just blew me away about how detailed looking it was and like all of like the animation within and like the like explosions and blood and everything. Like that game just didn't look like any other game. I mean, it did. But it was much more fluid and detailed and crisp and like balanced everything. It was rad.
When there's such a ridiculous amount of charm to every little thing in the game too. Like I love when like there's an attack chopper that you fight pretty regularly. It's like I wouldn't even say it's a mini boss, but just drop 3 bombs and you shoot it up the whole time. It's pretty cake. But every time you defeat it and it blows up, it drops a little envelope with like a little wax seal in the back. It's kind of like, is that like from the pilot? Like, there's a little bit of storytelling there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of curious about that. Like, I don't think everything needs lore or background to appreciate it, but it's little touches like that. Or like when you get the monkey with a diaper that has an Uzi in Metal Slug 3. that's just awesome. You also fight Bigfoots in that game. You ride a camel slug in the series. There's so much going on. But yeah, you also, there's the one I'm blanking on, but there's the one prisoner who, when you rescue him, has a Hadouken. He actually has like a name. He's got like a whole like canon entry and like he's a special prisoner. Just all these little touches that like you can tell like this was Irem's or Nazca, I think. And it was like they're like, this is what they wanted to do. You could feel everybody got to put their touches on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are great games. And I think I just had exposure to the arcade ones and like 1 and 2 specifically, like in the arcades I played a lot. I never got into them once they hit home consoles, but I always like appreciated them from afar. But I recently had picked up Metal Slug Tactics. It's like that conversion of the iOS like or like touchscreen enabled one, but it's like somebody finally told me about it and it was like, oh, it's like a tower defense meets like Metal Slug. I'm like, oh, like those are okay. I'm absolutely into that. I love just obscure weird tower defense games and stuff too. So yeah. I was like, oh, it wasn't very much to buy either, so I'm like, oh, I'll play it for an hour or two, let's see. And then like 6 or 7 hours later I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm not gonna come back to this game. I gave this my fill. Like this was really fun, but like now it is just like it's just a grind to like further progress and everything. And it was very entertaining, but all of the sprites and everything, you know, it definitely seems like they're just pulling it from like just series history. And I didn't know, but I mean, there was a lot of like, there's some alien and like weird like other like monsters in it, and I'm like, where are these from? I don't remember these from any of these Metal Slug games, but clearly must have been like 3, and then like as the series continued on. So at least it's good to know where they came from.
Yeah, I like around 6 they brought the Ikari Warriors in. So like the Ralph and Clark and Leona are actually part of like the Peregrine Forces team or whatever. So then that's like, you know, one of SNK's first franchises. So you have this 40-year legacy history of them being part of that now. They're all kind of in the same universe. And not just, you know, King of Fighters. Like, they actually are doing what they originally were set out to do. You know, running and gunning. You know, it surpassed Contra in a lot of ways. And I think Contra people have the memory of. But as far as, like, this is, like, the people who actually sat down and kept doing it, it's them.
Yeah, those. I never got to play the arcade Ikari Warriors. I had the NES port of it, and I remember even as a kid thinking, like even if I got good at this, I think this is just a brutally designed game that I don't know that you can. I think it's so much luck's involved here, but I still didn't stop me from playing it. I did love that game growing up as well. Rad. I guess so. From Metal Slug standpoint, Do you see, like, yourself dabbling back into it? Do you go back to play Metal Slug 3 just to kind of revisit that moment?
I kind of, like, every so often I'll just play through the whole series on the anthology. Mm. And I think actually probably, like, I think Metal Slug 3 is probably the game I have purchased the most in most formats. Because since about the original Xbox version, PlayStation 2 anthology version, Vita version, or PSP anthology version, then the digital release on the PS4 of the PS2 version, and then Steam, there's been so many formats I bought it in. Mm. But usually, I think X is probably my favorite to play, because I know it's not, like... Slug 3 is great. You have to be committed to doing it. X is like the cleaned up version of 2, and it's a much easier pick up and play game to kind of just go through and have fun. But even 1's good for what it, I mean. 1, like, I think kind of gets overlooked because it didn't go as fantastical or comical as the rest of the series went. That's worth a play. 4 is not bad. It was when SNK sold off some of their properties to be developed by a different company. King of Fighters 2001 is the most notable, I think, that did not do well. And it's not as good of a game. 5 picked it back up. And 6, I'll say the newer one, like the XX, is just kind of meh. Hmm. The series really peaked with 3. 5 has some good moments. And 6 brought in a couple things here or there. But they're kind of just, you know, on their laurels at this point. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, we don't really have to prove anything. No one's in the market for this. No one's out there to, like, you know, get like a diehard running gun, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. The PlayStation 2 version is interesting. I think people kind of like hate on it by default. It's not as bad as people say it is. It's just not good. It's worth it if you're curious. Like, it's the one that's fully 3D. Mm. But yeah, again, too, like we were talking before, and, you know, via the methods, it's worth trying just to say you've tried it and kind of for yourself and see what you think of it.
Yeah. Interesting. I'll have to take a look at that then myself. I think Cannon Spike still is number 1 on my list. Yeah. Though. Gotta check that one out for sure. Finally. Rad. Well, that does it. You answered the question. That completes the episode. Mission accomplished.
Thank you.
Or mission complete. Isn't that what it says? I will have your social media stuff below for folks to kind of find you online. You can search Rusty Shackles art and kind of see some of the cool stuff you've done. Do you have like a gallery page or things where you've kind of posted a lot of the work that you've done?
Really, my sale blog is kind of like the most recent stuff. Like, I've done like a lot of different formats and projects and kind of moved around so much. But my sale blog kind of like has the stuff that's like relevant now. Excuse me. One thing I've actually started doing recently is now that I have a home printer that's really, really high quality, I've been doing like, I've been taking some of my existing artwork and making replacement packaging. Because I was like, a lot of the stuff I was doing before was like fake posters for games. Mm-hmm. Now I'm kind of like, my audience like doesn't have poster space, but like they might have like a copy of a Nintendo Pro Wrestling that they'd like, they don't have a box for. So, and you know, you'll see the thing. Mm. So this is the replica box I have for it. And there's the game itself.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, it's just a matter of, I just print the insert out, and this is like a universal protector case or something like that. It's not a very expensive item, like that kind of thing. But that's kind of like my new project right now. I call them reswaps. So there's a lot of that going on. I haven't done all of my art yet, because I figure like sneak king probably, you know, I'm not in a rush. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. So kind of keep an eye on my stuff like for that right now, because that's going to be like kind of my focus for my main project for a while. That's not hardcore gaming 101 or everybody, you know, 1-800 Hot Dog or anybody else.
Yeah, gotcha. All right. Well, I'll still throw that link down there, though. I mean, I think it's cool looking through your artwork. I mean, putting together the beat 'em up book I'm working on now and seeing some of your stuff. I do like your work, so it's neat to see. So we'll share that in the show notes below. But otherwise, we will definitely have you on in the future, Rusty. I appreciate you coming back on another episode. You have a great evening.
Hey, man, you too. Thank you.
To a new episode, my returning clutch guest Nicole is here. Hello, Nicole.
Hi. Hello.
I appreciate you supporting me in putting together these final version one episodes before I try and sample with mixing it up a little bit. But yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Happy to help.
So I've got the icebreaker question. So the one that you haven't been able to prepare for.
Oh, gosh.
So let's see. Let's just see. Who is your favorite character who wears green?
Favorite character that wears green.
Yes.
Maybe Link.
Link's, yeah, pretty solid.
Yeah, I think that's probably like one of my first like adventure games that I ever like actually finished.
Okay.
Legend of Zelda. Link to the Past.
Yeah, okay. That's a good choice. I mean, it's a... You can't go wrong with Link. I mean, he's got the famous green tunic.
I couldn't think of any other, like... I mean, there's Frog in Chrono Trigger, but...
He's just green skin, isn't he? Does he wear green clothes?
Yeah, he's just green. And... Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't think of anything else.
That's fine. Let's do a daily double and ask a second one. If you could live in any gaming world, what world would that be?
I feel like you've asked me one of these ones before.
I think it was like where would you want to retire or something like that. It was, yeah.
Oh, okay. This is a
slightly different.
I would want to live in some sort of like medieval Victorian time.
What?
What?
No electricity, or I guess maybe there. Well, I don't know.
No oil lamps.
Yeah. So
gears
weird.
For clocks and water and like, yeah.
It never would be clean. You know. No modern amenities at all. Just
I wouldn't mind that. I don't think that I would mind that. I mean, thinking like, you know, me as a person, like I like to just be out in the garden digging in the dirt, like, you know.
Okay. That's an answer. It works. Would you want to be a warrior of some kind, or it's just that world environment is something that you would be fine with? You would be an NPC living in your town.
I mean, you want me to give you like a character?
No. I'm just, you know, do you think you'd be? I think that you'd probably just be an NPC of a town, just out of the way and not creating noise.
No, I think I'd be like, it's kind of funny to think of it this way, but Russell Crowe's character, was it the movie The Gladiator? Is he in the movie The Gladiator?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he like retires from being like this crazy, like, you know, hero warrior person. And like, he goes to go live in the country and to be with his family and stuff. He ends up going back into like warrior mode because his family gets like slaughtered. But yeah, I think I'd be like one of these like, you know, NPCs, but then also have this like hidden past of like being a hero or something.
Okay. Well, we're through the icebreaker and into the main fire. So the question for the week, the tone of voice change that might happen because of the editing process. We just had to deal with a tantrum with our 6-year-old who's sick and wouldn't take medicine. And it was just, you know, started out bad cop, bad cop. And it's hard to just flip back to good cop after that. But luckily Nicole did and was able to get the medicine taken. But tone change in voice and everything from that. Let's try and recover back to the main topic. Main question. What is a memorable wow moment you had with a video game? What was it about it that impressed you? So, do you want to reveal like the game first, or, you know, I mean, set the stage however you'd like, but you know, what is that wow moment?
Okay. So I was thinking about this question for a little bit since you kind of like, you know, told me what you were going to ask me. And I was at first kind of conflicted about what I wanted to talk about. But then I realized that, or I remember this like memory of like watching you play video games and Austin play video games. And some of the video games, I would always think like, why are you playing this game? It does not seem fun at all. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem entertaining. None of that. So that is probably like the wow moment when I decided to just kind of like give it a chance and try it. And, you know, obviously I asked you for a lot of help and stuff and just like understanding the game and the gameplay. But like tactics style games, like just like the squares and just choosing little things. And I just didn't understand. I was, you know, it didn't seem like adventurous or, you know, very actiony, like, you know, in an action adventure game where you're, you know, wandering around and you're, you know, killing characters or like, you know, monsters and things like that. I didn't really see how that could be transferred into like a tactics style game. So I think my first tactics style game that you kind of showed me was Advance Wars on the DS. But the first tactics game that I actually like saw like previews of it, and I was like, wow, this is like exciting. This is like, you know, kind of like how, you know, the first question that you asked me, the icebreaker question of like the theme or like the setting, Jeanne d'Arc. So it's in kind of like, you know, like Victorian, like old medieval, like, you know, just kind of old setting. And just, I never thought that I would be like so invested in a game and really be taken along with a story. And I just didn't see how that could happen in that type of game. And it really surprised me. Just like the fact that you're leveling up your characters and, you know, you get these nice like cutscenes. I played it on the PSP. I don't even remember when that was.
It was
2007. Oh, wow. Wow. That's a long time ago. it's just crazy. I don't think I've played a tactics game since then. I don't think. But I've always hoped that there would be like a sequel or something like that. And there never really was, but I really enjoyed like the stylized like characters. I felt like the sprite characters were not much different from its like, you know, animated cutscene characters. Like, I felt like they were really like, you know, looked similar, because sometimes, you know, the sprite characters would be like, what? That's what the characters look like in animated version, which happens, like, I think about that when Chrono Trigger, you get like those kind of newer animated cutscenes, and I'm like, what? No. But yeah, I just really enjoyed it, and it really like, you know, just kind of really surprised me. I didn't think that I would ever enjoy it. I never wanted to give it a try because it looks so boring. But I, you know, gave it a chance, and I'm so glad that I did, because that was like probably a game that, besides like the very first like tutorials and kind of like understanding how the movements work and things like that, I played that game like myself and played it all the way through. I beat the game. And so I was really kind of pumped up about that, because, you know, during that time, I wouldn't consider myself any kind of like gamer or person that regularly finishes games, but that was a game that I finished in, I guess you can say, in my early gaming career. But yeah, it was really fun.
The Jeanne d'Arc was, I think I told you about it, but I don't know that you've ever tried to play it. But they did port to the PS4 and PS5 Jeanne d'Arc, so you can play it on PlayStation. So.
Yeah, I in preparation for the call, I went back and kind of looked at a few things too. And I saw that and I was like, what? I want to play it. Like, you know, they just be kind of fun to play again on, you know, on like a bigger screen, just kind of laying in bed and playing it. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, we can download it. It's on, I can put it on the PS4 in the bedroom, and you can just play it there. But cool. I actually also wanted to ask you, just because part of, like, I didn't realize you were going to share this one, is like the wow moment. Just, I mean, dabbling in a genre you were unfamiliar with and finding some entertainment out of it. But the, you know, Final Fantasy XI, we always will talk about, like, you had no like experience with MMOs or anything like that at all. You just, you know, you just saw that game happening. You're like, yeah, I'll try this. And then, you know, hundreds of hours of your life, you know, were then invested into it.
But I feel like that, yes, would be like, you know, considered a wow moment for me as well. Just because it was probably like, you know, just kind of a bigger game, I feel like you need to like have a better understanding of like characters and character, like your job development and things like that. But for me, like, but that wasn't ever a game where I said, ew, like, I don't ever want to play that game. That game looks boring, you know? So that's what I'm saying. Like the Jeanne d'Arc, because of its tactics style, like that, the gameplay itself, like that's where I was like, I don't ever want to play one of these games because they look so boring and I don't know how anybody can find these entertaining at all. But then be completely wowed when I actually play one and understand it.
Mm. Okay.
So for me, it was more of like a bigger wow moment because of that.
Just the idea that how is this even fun? Like, there's no way I would ever want to do anything like that. That's crazy. Yeah. And then doing it. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Final Fantasy XI was like, yeah, it's not a genre or anything you hated. It was just kind of a different or new experience. And, you know, that was for all of us, you know, diving into that world and everything, going crazy for it. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, yeah, that's a cool wow moment, especially coming from, I mean, thinking about it from that angle, like, you know, something you know potentially hated and just did not understand and still gave it a shot and a try. So cool. Well, that's that then.
The other game that I was referencing to kind of in that same like lump of like, I don't understand how anyone can ever have fun with something like this is going to be Austin playing that NBA game. Yeah. And it wasn't even a game. Like, you just see like a menu constantly and like words. And I was like, what is he even doing?
It was a game.
It didn't look like a game to me.
He just didn't play a lot of the game, like the actual basketball games themselves. He was simulating the games, but he was building a team. He was just doing the, you know, acting as like the general manager, you know, trading and like building his roster for his team. And then like letting the game just simulate the wins and losses and all stuff based on his team.
Yeah, so, but that just can't be fun.
Yeah, it's like a sim, like, management. Yeah, it's just, it is fun.
No, but like, you know, I'm thinking like sim, like the Sims, like, you know, you are actually, yes, you're controlling the game and you know, all that stuff, but you see little sprites moving around. You see like the world. This, you just words, menus, words, and a lot of clicking.
To each their own.
No kidding.
Okay. Well, that'll wrap that then here. Appreciate you for jumping in and coming on another one to help, fulfill my promise of getting this out on Friday. So I'll begin my editing. And if you're listening to this, y'all, like, this literally was just happening. So this is as real time as you can get in the podcast world.
Yeah. Down to the wire.
All right. Thank you, Nicole.
You're welcome.
I will see you in 30 seconds.
Okay, bye.
Bye.